The sermon this evening comes from our Psalm of the Month, Psalm 4. This is the second part of this sermon on Psalm 4. If you have the outline, you see the first half. Now we'll be having the second half. I'll read the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the eternal place that you have put us in. We thank you for calling us your sons and your daughters, joint heirs with Christ Jesus, the receivers of your covenant, the receivers of your many promises. Help us in this place to recognize our great rescue and to recognize our amazing relationship with you. As you have shown us so great a love, as you have shown us so great a rescue that cannot be lost, help us now as we come to you, to listen to you, to understand you. Please cause our hearts to swell with love and affection for you, because you have first loved us. Be glorified in our midst tonight, Father, as we continue to give you your worship. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come tonight and we listen to Christ. All scripture is God-breathed. It is the Spirit of Christ who carried David along to pen these words, to give us this song to sing, to have this affirmation and this encouragement in our lives. We look, and even though David was constantly in a tight spot, even though there were always waves of sin coming against him, his own sin, the sin of others, parts of the curse and the curse that had been upon him because of his sin against God with Bathsheba, even in this place, he comes and he stands and he says, you have relieved my distress. You have already rescued me. You and I, in the course of our lives, we will have these tensions and these pains and this turmoil will be coming across us and against us. There will be that enmity. You and I will again and again and again face death. I came onto the session here at Eastvale as a young man, and all of the elders that I had been blessed with at that point have been taken to the Lord. There will be death. The question is death stronger than you? The question is death stronger than your salvation? Is death stronger than your Christ? We see the answer in Scripture is no. Christ has overcome death. Christ has rescued us from the power of sin and death. We stand in this place where we say, you have relieved my distress. That is, nothing that you face in this world is stronger than Christ Jesus, including the death of our loved ones. Our own death when it comes. You and I who are in Christ have been given eternal life. Though our bodies will fade and fail, we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Death has been conquered. So we look, and the call for you this evening is the same as it was last week, to call and rest. We call in confidence. We continue to call on the name of the Lord, knowing that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There is no circumstance that you can face in this world that can overcome you, as long as you are calling on Christ. So standing in this place, and we've worked through each step as we move down along here, we come now to verse 5. In verse 5, after having taken the stand, this statement is made that says to you, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. What does that mean for you when Christ says to you, offer the sacrifices of righteousness? Are you and I in the place where we have to go and we have to get a lamb and we have to watch it and make sure it's pure? Do we have to sacrifice a pure lamb? We do not anymore. That time has passed. That pointed forward to Jesus coming, as John the Baptist stood and pointed at Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. That sacrifice has been accomplished. And where are you and I now? You and I are now in the age and in the land where all righteousness has been accomplished. And we call this, and we say that the ceremonial law, these sacrifices and the temple work there has been fulfilled. It's done. It's over. And now you and I being pulled and being brought in to the church in this age, in the newer covenant, we are in a more beautiful place as the blood has been done away with. The blood has been accomplished as Christ came and served the Passover at the Last Supper. And he says, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you, resulting in the salvation of many. We can look around here and we can see those who have been rescued, those who have been saved. Salvation has been accomplished. For you who are calling on the name of the Lord, and for those who are assembled together, we come together, and when we sing, we are shouting for joy over the salvation of one another. We are rejoicing that Christ has loved each of us and saved us. We are able to look around and see the wonders that he has done. We are able to be a part of one another's lives and see us move from strength to strength and advancing. And we are able to say, salvation is real. Sanctification is real. Jesus does amazing things. And we come together because of that, and we offer sacrifices of praise. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, which is the fruit of the lips. We sing to Christ and we give him his praise. In that place, we're fulfilling a bit of what is shown in Ephesians chapter 5, where it talks about Christ washing the bride and making her pure. We sing together and we actually wash one another in the words of Christ. We are blessed as the body of Christ sings over us and shouts for joy over our salvation. And the truth is washed over us so that we can actually have psalms on our hearts. Songs of victory and praise, songs of grace and deliverance. Worship, yes, is a service for God, done specifically to him and for him, as he has directed us carefully and specifically in Scripture. But what has Christ demonstrated he cares so much about? You. You. In the midst of this high worship, in the midst of this high praise, even there, he's caring for you. As his word is preached, as his word is sung, and as he meets with you in a particular way, doing great works on our hearts. Psalm 92 is described as a psalm for the Sabbath. sung in the morning as well as the evening. We see the great challenge in our life and that wrestling between our old nature and our new nature. And Romans 1 and 2 describes those who are worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Isn't that what all of our sin is? Worshiping ourselves and worshiping others, looking for our joy and our peace and our comfort there. But we're brought back to that place that is an expression of our gratitude for our salvation. Even here in verse 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And look at that second piece there. That brings us back to our faith in Christ, where it says, and trust in the Lord. And trust in the Lord. You who are trusting in the Lord, we offer the sacrifices of righteousness. We offer up the fruit of the lips. We give Him our praise together. We move to our sixth step, which is rest in His good. Many are saying, who will show us any good? People in this world are so lost, running and scrambling for anyone who will show them any gentleness, any kindness, any good. I'm reminded of the pattern of my own life before I came to Christ, and I had been taught by the culture that what I needed was a woman to love me. And that whenever or if ever I could get into that place where I found the one, I would be satisfied and fulfilled, and I have reached my chief end in life. Well, you look at the people in this world and those who are running that course, and you see hearts knit together and ripped apart, and knit together and ripped apart, and knit together and ripped apart, where there's nothing left but calluses and blood. And such people cry out continuously, who will show me any good? Well, as you and I have found, we have been shown good. We have been shown the loving kindness of the Lord. We have been shown true grace. Many are saying, who will show us any good? And from that place, as we look at them and look at their weeping, and we too have the same weeping and we have the same sorrow, we have the same human hearts that need filled and need loved and need blessed and protected, we cry out in that place, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, Lord. You bless me. You shine your light on me. You fulfill me. Those of you who are tempted to run and try to have a man or a woman fulfill the desires of your heart and fulfill all of your needs and think they are your answer, you will be knit and torn, knit and torn, knit and torn. Until you find that only Christ can be your highest good. Only He can fulfill you. And there is the good that we have found. Psalm 80, verse 19. Lord God of armies, restore us. Make your face shine upon us, and we will be saved. This shining light, this grace that is on you, the warmth of the Heavenly Father is what blesses us and fills us. It brings us to a place where we do indeed grieve. But 1 Thessalonians 4:13 describes us and says, but we do not grieve as the rest of the world. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. You see, in Christ, we have hope. In Christ, there is a confidence that you can have that the rest of the world can't. Not apart from Him. They could call on Him and they could come. But where you are, if you are calling on the name of the Lord, you have hope. You can have confidence that he cares for you, that he blesses you, and that he is committed to your eternal good. This is why we have that blessing in the service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and what? Give you peace. Peace. Christ said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. His peace is real. His peace is everlasting. In Matthew 4:16, when Jesus is starting his earthly ministry after the temptation in the wilderness, it says, as he went out, it fulfilled the scripture, a light shone on those who were dwelling in darkness. And those who were in the valley of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Take in the beauty of that and see yourself in the beauty of that. The light of God's love has dawned and shone on you who are loving Christ and who are trusting in him. And not only this, Jesus also made the statement in John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You have the light of life when you are trusting Christ and following him. You are in that beauty. You are in that truth. And not only that, Psalm 37:6 makes the statement, as you are following him, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. It will be the beauty and the reality of your life that as you are loving Christ, that light will shine from you in such a way that it will be seen and that many will trust in the Lord. So our next step then is that this salvation and this hope that we have will result in and that you and I can rest in true gladness. Verse 7. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and their new wine abound. You have something better, more fulfilling, more true, more real than their drunken joy. More than all their parties and all of their, air quote, good times. You are blessed and fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, describes our place, describes your place this way. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, as we direct our own hearts, and forget none of his benefits. Then he's described as the benefit. He who pardons all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all the oppressed. Do you see yourself then in a place of gladness, greater and higher than anything anyone in the world can accomplish? We saw the struggle and we sang about it in Psalm 37 that we could look at the people of the world and be envious of the things that they have. Their greatest house, all of their money, their greatest possessions, better is the little that the believer has than all of their great possessions. You have the King of Glory watching over you and holding you and promising to do so forever and ever. There's to be a gladness in our lives, a joy in our lives that is overflowing from this. There's a story of Rich Mullins, who was an entertainer who got saved, and he went back to his old stomping grounds and he played his music and he was in a pub. And he's playing his music, and one of the guys went over to the bar, and they asked him, what can I get you? And the guy said, I'll take 2 pints of whatever he's having. There was a joy and a gladness that resulted not from drinking, but from his salvation. I invite you to this place. We all get distracted. We all get confused. We all fall into old habits. It will happen. But I invite you back to the joy of your salvation, to the gladness that we have in Christ, which brings us to the place of rest and peace. And this is our eighth step. Rest in peace. Verse 8. Even though David is a man of war, a man of bloodshed, evil has been raised up within his own household, and the sword would never depart from his house. In verse 8, he is able to say, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep." Why? And here's the answer. "For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." We have to speak this peace to our own hearts. We have to say, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." You have been rescued. You have been saved. You have been given eternal life. John 14, 27, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let them be fearful." There will be a wrestling in your life to live this out. And I invite you to the place where in your bed, at night, when you are fearful, address the specific fear. Address what you are afraid of. Answer it with these passages: that Christ has loved me. Run to Romans 8. See your great rescue that is there, and remember that he will cause all things to work together for good. For those of you who love him, for those of you who are called according to his purpose. And where is that confidence? That confidence is in him, in what he has done and what he has said. And again, in the faith that he has given you, not a confidence in faith, but a confidence in him and in his promise, where you can say, "Wait, I believe. I really believe. I really believe in Christ. And as I really believe in Christ, I see that I am truly rescued." We live and we dwell and we have a peace in this great love that is expressed in 1 John 3:1. "See how great a love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and in fact, we are." You have a heavenly Father that is all-powerful and that has already displayed perfect love for you. And what has he said to you? Call. Call on me. Call on me and you will be saved. And he says to you, rest. Have peace. Trust in me. And we say together with our whole heart, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for blessing us with faith and the salvation that comes from faith. Thank you for our great rescue. Thank you for so great a love that we have been called your children, and such we are. Please bless us as we are constantly taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Father, and bless us as we direct our own hearts and we direct our own souls to return to their rest, because you have dealt bountifully with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.